ナモタサバガバトアラートサンマサンボタサ。ナモタサバガバトアラートサンマサンボタサ。ナモタサバガバトアラートサンマサンボタサ。Today, I want to continue with the Patana series. So I made an aspiration that I would be able to, I hope that I will be able to give a talk on each of the Patana conditions of the Abhidhamma. So I already gave a few talks previously, and today I want to talk about the condition of interdependence or interconnectedness. Now this is you will not find that in the traditional books that list the Patana conditions. I've given different names towards many of the Patana conditions simply because I found that most treatments on the Patana conditions were quite absurd. So now there are various Patana conditions which are said to be only different in letter, but the meaning is the same. So I have long thought about and long contemplated about how to make something more beneficial out of the Patana conditions. So the Patana conditions that I translate as interdependence and interconnectedness is the Patana condition of Upanisaya Paccaya. So anisaya means something like dependence, and upanisaya is usually translated as something like strong dependence. But the word upa you can also translate differently, you know? So you can translate this Patana condition also as interdependence. I'm not a Pali scholar, so I'm not very exactly concerned with doing an exceedingly good job in matters of etymology. But if we look at various other examples of how many of the ancient Sanskrit words that are now have become already quite well known, how they are translated in modern times, we can see that the translation or the meaning of the word is something very different from what would be the exact translation of the word, the most literal translation of the word. Now, for example, the word karma means only action. But then the Buddha declared that karma means intention. But the modern understanding of the word karma means more something like cause and effect, like causality. And with many, if not most, of these ancient words, of these ancient, you can say, psychological terms, or in terms of ancient mental science. If you really look at the translation, or if you really look what the word literally would mean, it does not give you much meaning. So similar to yoga. Yoga just means to join, like joining an ox cart. So sometimes it's translated as union in modern times, but main meaning nowadays means is something like a kind of spiritual practice, sometimes a kind of philosophy, if it comes in conjunction with a spiritual practice. But basically it's something quite different of what the word literally would mean. So I don't feel exactly, you know, I don't feel utterly bad about having created a quite different word for the word Upanishaya, Pachaya. So because with if you look at the patana conditions, you can do something out of them, but most books on patana, there you cannot do really much with what you get as explanations. So if you take the word interconnectedness or interdependence, and you, as I've mentioned in a previous talk, there is a basic talk that explains the basics on which I'm now already building up. So if you think of the basic items of the Abhidhamma, which is mind, matter, consciousness, and Nibbana is the fourth, but Nibbana I always kept separate because it has is not treated exactly in that manner. It is kind of treated distinctly. So I always concerned myself mostly with mind, matter, and consciousness. And if you then try to think of what are mind, matter, and consciousness in a condition of interconnectedness, or what would mind, matter, and consciousness in a condition of interdependence mean, then you can perhaps do something more with it than if you would think of it in matter as a strong dependence, especially if you have the two patana conditions. One is nisaya, one is upanisaya. So nisaya is usually translated as dependence, and then you have the condition of strong dependence, so you will not be able to do much with that. But if you think of matters of interdependence in regards to matter, so you think about what does interdependence means in regards to matter, in regards to the physical universe, now you can find many examples of how the wholeness of the universe is kind of interconnected. But especially I always used to treat things first in relation to the four elements under matter. So you will find that the four elements, or the four primary elements of earth, water, fire, and wind, if you think of them in relation to interconnectedness, for example in regards to a planet, then you can find, in a planet like Earth, or any kind of ecosystem, any kind of example in the external world in regard to the physical universe, you might find different examples for that. But now let's take, for example, the Earth as an example and see how the elements, the four elements, as ideas of matter are interconnected. So the Earth, obviously it's primarily earth element, like it's a foundational element, but then it is interspersed with the water element. The larger part of the earth's surface is covered with the water of the oceans, and then much water hangs in the air, in the clouds and in the rain and so on. And much of water element also exists under the earth surface. So now you see the interconnectedness, or inter especially interconnectedness of earth and water. But it is a similar thing with fire element. And on the one hand side, maybe we cannot easily see and witness only when maybe a volcano erupts. But we are learning from young age in school that the earth is the core of the earth. The inner core of the earth is made of heat. Now it's made of fire. It's made of lava, magma, and metals and stones in a condition of intense heat, and in liquid, in a kind of liquid form, liquid fire, so to say. And then also the earth is continuously shined on by the heat of the sun, of the rays of the sun, so the surface of the water of the earth also is continuously, there's some heat element, and whenever there's the thunder, then we have a lightning as an example of the fire element interconnected with a wind element. And then as last we have the air element, so everywhere in the outer atmosphere of the earth, of the planet earth, is all, we can say, air element. And then there are also many cracks and holes and underground caves and things like that, which are, we can say, examples of the air element. And the air, on the one hand side, the earth is, we know, to be rotating, also circling around the sun. And the wind element is blowing much of the time on the earth's surface, not always somewhere. So these are examples of the air element being in a condition of interconnectedness with all the other elements. So, and a similar thing we have in regard to our physical body. The body also is a more elaborate ecosystem, a more elaborate kind of matter that is more elaborately interconnected and more elaborately interdependent. Now you also, maybe in between step, you also could talk about the plants. We can also first treat the plants. Now the plants are obviously also interconnected and interdependent with the outer elements. The plant is dependent on the earth element. That's where it spreads its roots and where it gains stability from and where it gains its nourishment from, sucking out the minerals from the earth element. Then you have the water element. Any plant depends on the water element, on water. And then you have the fire element. So also the plant strongly depends on sunshine and heat and so on. And also the plant depends on the wind element, on the air element. So it transforms carbon dioxide into oxygen. And it, most plants reproduce themselves by throwing off their pollen, throwing off their seeds, and allowing the wind to disperse their seeds and to carry their seeds to other places. So, but also equally within the plant, the different parts of the plant are also interdependent. The leaves take in the sunshine and the carbon dioxide. The trunk is transporting minerals, energy, I think glucose, and so on, to the various parts of the plant. The root is taking in the nutriment from the ground, which spreads throughout the plant. So it's a system of interconnected things, interconnected functions, and it's equal with a human being. All the inner organs of a human being are interdependent. Each cell is kind of in a condition of interdependence with all the cells around it, and then all the cells make up the body, or makes up some organ. Many organs make up the body, and there you have the body is similarly connected to the outside world. You take in the air element through the lungs, through the mouth and the lungs. Then you take in nutriment from without, and the fire element in the body is breaking down that food from without and is transforming that into nutriment, and then the blood vessels transport the energy to the different organs, and whatever is left will be excreted. So the feces are then again given back to the earth, which will be sometimes often eaten by worms and so on. So it serves as a food for other beings, or as fertilizer for the plants and so on. And then we can move towards the mind and look at the interdependence of the body with the mind first. So in the first place, the mind depends on input through the senses. At least that's how things are in the sense sphere world, in the human world and for animals. So the mind receives its contents from the outside world through the senses, and the mind will initiate movements of the body. The mind will initiate the body to look out for food. The mind will initiate the body to lay down for rest. And then will many times the internal functions of the bodily organs will many times determine also to a fair degree the condition of the mind. If you have some liver stagnations, usually that it is thought that you're more easily grumpy, for example. If you have any kind of physical problem, you're more likely to have mind states like worry or desire arising, or fear. And if you're physically very strong and physically very healthy, you're, on the other hand, much more likely to also be mentally healthy and mentally strong. Now your condition of stability of mind depends strongly on the workings of the nervous system. So if your nervous system is suffused with energy or nutriment, and the energy or nutriment is flowing freely and feeding all the rest of the body, then your mind is much more likely to be stable. And then also our intelligence, and even things like our creativity and mindfulness depend on our body, depend on whether our brain has enough nutriment or not. So if our brain is getting sufficient nutriment, then we will be able to think more clearly and better, And if our brain does not have enough nutrients, then we forget things. And we can't think clearly, leave alone perform some kind of creative work or creative task with our mind. And even though, and equally, if we are practicing certain virtues, if we are trying to control ourselves, if you want to practice self-control, we don't want to express anger, we want to nip any kind of upcreeping greed or deluded mind state immediately into the butt. We immediately want to kind of cut it down as soon as it arises. So now this is, our mind is using the brain to calm down or to control to some degree the heart and functions in the heart, and but maybe also functions in the liver and to some degree functions of various of the endocrine glands. And this is what is called virtue. If we are controlling certain inner functions, we control the mind, but we equally, in order to control the mind, we have to learn how to control the body. So the two are very interdependent. And that, of course, will in turn also feed back onto the outside world. If we are then practicing self-control, self-restraint, then our interhuman relationships usually are more likely to improve. So then the feedback we receive from the outside we will be different from when we are all the time angry, for example. So we again have the what the senses are adverting towards and taking in to the mind, and that is again kind of interdependent with what arose in the mind in the first place. So now there's a intricate interconnectedness between our mind, our actions, and the reactions we receive from the outside world. And these mind states and these outside feedback in turn will again influence the quality of consciousness. If your mind is bright, if your mind is happy, then you see the world quite differently. Then everything, the sun shines more beautiful, the green of the trees and the bushes is more green than if you're depressed. If you're depressed and in a low mind condition, then the world looks also equally gloomy. And if you are in a bad mood and you see other people laughing, maybe you feel they're quite cruel in a way. You feel horrible, they should not laugh. But if you're in a good mood and you see other people laugh, then, for example, then it increases your joy many times. And this condition of consciousness then in turn will somewhat determine the ideas you have about the world, the concepts you create, the worldview you acquire, what sort of things you're interested in. If you're frequently in a gloomy mood, then you might slowly become interested in Gothic and Satanism, maybe, or conspiracy theories, or any kind of ideas about how horrible and bad the world is, and how unjust everything is, how bad all the politicians are, and these kind of things. So Well, on the other hand side, no, if your mind is bright, if your mind is nice, positive, no, these influences also, no, your consciousness sees things differently, and it also, no, that will have in turn the effect that you have different ideas about the world, that you create different ideas, different concepts about what the world is, what is your purpose in life, how things are, no? Some people, you know, you read some novels of people who went through all sort of incredible injustices and suffering, and spending years in a concentration camp or in prison without having done anything wrong, being falsely accused and falsely judged, but they keep, you know, they are able to keep a positive mind throughout. Now they're just growing and growing in wisdom, and then they come out of it, and then they write a book or they teach people, and now they become quite saintly through that pressure, through that injustice, and through that, you know, the looking at things, at, you know, bad things in a different, in a different manner. So they create, even in spite of the world being unfair towards them, unjust towards them, they create ideas about the world that are not gloomy and negative and full of despair. They create ideas about the world that is positive. And this, of course, is again kind of having an interdependent connection in the other direction, in that, you know, the view one has, you know, that in Buddhism, that is the first factor of the Noble Eightfold Path, you know, is right view. So the view you have on life will condition your mind, will condition your outer reality, and will condition through that also your body. If your mind is positive, then also your body is much less likely to get sick and so on. So there you have a kind of complete circle, and you have the complete picture of everything being interdependent. And but then maybe to conclude it, so precisely because everything is interdependent, because the world and the mind, the world of matter, the world of mind, the world of consciousness, all are interdependent. Precisely because of that, systems of knowledge, like the Abhidhamma being one attempt of it, but you find that that is basically the idea of esoterical systems. Systems of knowledge, complete cosmologies. This is precisely what makes them so valuable, so important. That if you have a structure of knowledge, if you have a body of knowledge, wherein all the pieces of knowledge, all the ideas contained in that body of knowledge are interdependent and interconnected, Only then you really can kind of master your life properly, or in Abhidhamma terms, master matter, mind, and consciousness. Because then, only then, your knowledge is a perfect match to the interconnected world without. So maybe I just take that as a conclusion of this talk, and maybe just I do sharing of merits. Idame punyam asavakaya waham hotu. Idame punyam nibbanasa pachya hotu. Mama punya vagam sabasatanam pajimi te sabe me samam punya vagam labantu.